And joining us now to talk about the impending agreement, Don Banks covers the NFL for Sports Illustrated. Don, are you on board with seemingly everyone else saying that this thing is going to be decided pretty soon?
Almost completely, but I don't like the idea that there could be two players trying to make trouble, Logan Mankins, Vincent Jackson, for this deal at the proverbial 11th hour. It's the kind of complication that I kind of expected, and I'm kind of anxious to see how the league resolves this, if they actually try to kind of pay off these two guys, open that can of worms, or if they just say, you know what, we've given, and we're drawing the line there. So I think this thing gets done. I think it's a rock headed downhill. I also think there could be a couple more twists still to come.
Hey, Don, how would you grade Roger Goodell and Dee Smith for their leadership through this lockout?
Well, you know, I have to admit, I think Dee Smith comes out of this looking pretty strong. I thought he had a rather shaky start to his tenure up on the, at least on the public stage. I thought he kind of came across as arrogant and even smug at times. But I think he kind of steadied himself, and he kind of grew as the lockout and the challenge of getting this deal negotiated went on. And I think he's probably got a pretty firm grip in terms of his constituents right now, because he was an unknown quantity coming in after Gene Upshaw was obviously a pretty big legacy to fill. And I think he has stood up to it and probably comes out of this looking like a strong candidate to get a new contract next March. As far as the commissioner, you know, he's been beaten up and he's been bruised without a doubt. I don't see the long-term implications. I think this was a nasty business negotiation that some players really let become a personal situation, and I think that the thinking players in the league understood that Roger Goodell, by very nature, was going to represent the league and the owners much more than the players. And I think he tried to find some middle ground, but when it comes down to it, he's hired by the owners, and that is his job description. So in 5 years, I'd be very surprised, Vinny, if we're looking back and saying, wow, you know, the Goodell tenure went bad and it all started with the lockout of 2011. I think in time, most of the players forgive, forget, and see it as the business negotiation it was from day one.
Talking to Don Banks, who covers the NFL for Sports Illustrated here on 105.7 The Fan. Don, you talk about the players. What about some of these players that have had transgressions or have said some things during the lockout? Will they be penalized or fined or suspended?
My gut tells me that the league probably is going to let it go away for the most part. I think they have to make some sign of discipline, but I really think that the league had to come out and say that the rules were still enforced even during a lockout, because otherwise they would have been, in essence, giving the league's players a carte blanche to do what they will during the lockout. But I think in reality, when you go back and you total it all up, it probably will not be the same as if no lockout had occurred. There'll be some form of discipline. I just don't think they're on great legal ground to hand out really heavy fines or heavy doses of discipline. So I think it'll probably go rather on the light side. And like in the case of James Harrison, I expect the Steelers to act, not the league. There's really nothing to gain if Roger Goodell looks like he got his feelings hurt and wants to strike back at James Harrison. I think he lets Art Rooney handle that.
Don, if everything goes correctly, and from what I've heard, if things can get done today, players vote tomorrow, owners vote Thursday, and then they have a two-day session where they learn the rules. I'm talking about management and owners in Atlanta. And then on Friday, we would start the exclusive three-day period, and then on the 25th, free agency. Is that what you're hearing also?
Well, on the 25th, I don't know. I think that's fast. I still think the exclusive three-day period might end up starting on the 25th and go to Thursday the 28th. And then full bore free agency frenzy next Thursday. I mean, it just seems to me that there's a lot of procedural steps, and if you have the personnel men in the league and obviously the agents all trying to figure out the new rules of Thursday and Friday of this week, even while you supposedly threw open the window of re-signing your own guys. I just think it sounds too aggressive. It sounds like there's too much going on. To me, it makes more sense to start free agency on the 28th and basically have it going on concurrent when teams are starting to report to camp.
Speaking of free agency, how long do you think the agents and teams have been talking?
Tampering, I should say. Yeah, it's, this is, I think, going to be, given the situation and the uniqueness of it, one of the all-time tampering sessions in league history.
Right.
There's just so much that has to happen in a short period of time, and you know folks are getting an early start on it.
What do you think the benefit is, Don, of having the three-day window to sign your own guys?
Well, I think it was just a bone that the league won when they realized they weren't going to get right of first refusal. I thought that was a non-starter from the first time I heard it, getting three right of first refusals per team, because in essence you're taking 96 guys that are arguably the cream of the crop out of free agency. We all know that when you have a right of first refusal, you get less traffic coming your way in most cases. And also, in this time window, it would just tie guys up. So I think, this is just in essence that time period that would have been without the lockout before free agency started in February, early March, and clubs got at least a short amount of time to try to have the exclusive attention of their players.
Hey, Don, is it fair to say that not only the players, but some teams were against that because they didn't want to write contracts essentially for other teams?
Yeah, I think there was some of that. I think the majority of clubs wanted some ability to deal with their players one-on-one, even though likely they weren't going to have sole, exclusive attention with clubs communicating as much as they're going to. But I do think that most clubs look at it as a benefit. But if you've done your work right, you should have an inherent right of first refusal. If you have a good relationship with that player, if you've treated that player well, he should be able and willing to kind of bend your way if you're even close on the money.
Hey, Don, how do you think teams that aren't used to spending, that have all this cap room and cash that have to spend, the Cincy's, the Buffalo's, the Tampa's, how are they going to handle this situation?
I think it could be a little chaotic for a while, and I think it also it encourages possibly some bad decision-making. It'll probably be painful for the Mike Browns and teams
yes.
that really don't like to pry open. But I don't see them necessarily going crazy early on in free agency as much as I do. I think they'll find ways to spend the money throughout the season on their own guys, locking them up on the long-term deals. But I do expect you're going to see a number of teams overspend and probably quote-unquote, throw some money around because they have to. And, it's going to make for a great fodder for the likes of you guys and me for sit back and do the armchair quarterback thing and analyze who overspent and who did, the wise thing with their money.
Now, Don, do you think that because of the time constraints, there'll be more mistakes made, agents trying to take advantage of that situation with contract negotiators? Because a contract negotiator has got to be doing undrafted free agents, draft picks, signing unrestricted free agents all at the same time. It'll be interesting to see how many mistakes are made in that short window.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's going to be an unprecedented amount of activity going on at once. It's really going to benefit the guys that are hyper-organized and really are focused on who they want, what they want. Because I think the tendency is you're going to get pulled in a lot of different directions.
Right.
And I think that's when mistakes are made. And I agree, when you add in the new cap rules, it's almost a recipe for disaster for teams that really don't have a good plan of attack in this particular personnel acquisition season.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with Don Banks, who covers the NFL for Sports Illustrated here on 105.7 The Fan. And Don, we keep expecting this Wild West sort of thing to start Monday if and when free agency does start for real. How soon do you see dominoes falling, like a Nnamdi Asamoah, Kevin Cobb trade? Are these things going to happen immediately?
History tells us that a few big headlines do happen immediately. So I guess I'd put my dollar down on yes. I think the biggest names will. There's, because of the time pressure, because of the fact that there's going to feel like a very, very tight window where the biggest dollars will be available. I tend to think that that those deals are going to happen quickly. I don't think like the Donovan McNabb trade, if there is one, or his release, those type of things are going to happen quickly. I don't know that Plaxico Burress is going to fly off the market, but I do think the absolute elite talents, and we're always talking quarterbacks, and obviously the cornerback in this situation is the number one prize. I think, you know, those deals, it makes sense to believe that in the first 48 hours they're going to happen.
Don, is Kevin Cobb to Arizona basically a done deal?
I don't know if it's a done deal. It just makes so much sense. And I do believe that they're going to be the most aggressive. And obviously Seattle's been somewhat coy about their intentions in the Cobb sweepstakes. But I do believe they'll be there. And I think it's going to come down to those two teams. Arizona, to me, seems to be more motivated than any other team to go after Cobb. And so I guess by default, I like them to win the sweepstakes because I think they're going to be willing to pay more.
Do you think a Cobb for Rogers Cromartie, the corner from Arizona, is a win-win for both teams?
Yeah, it well could be. I mean, obviously, it meets both teams' greatest need. And, without knowing how the Eagles feel about Cromartie, I would surmise that they need a big corner. They obviously, deal a luxury item for their greatest need, and they don't have to go out and spend a ridiculous amount in the free agent market going after Asamoah.
And then there's been a lot of rumors about Steve Smith saying he wants to go Chargers, Ravens. Do you think that would be a fit with the Ravens, Steve Smith?
I actually do. I think that's a really smart fit. I think he's a Ravens type of player for mentality-wise and commitment-wise. I think he folds into that locker room pretty well. I think he desperately wants to win again. And in Baltimore, he has to look at that situation as about the best possible landing spot for a guy in his, clearly in the back third of his career, had some injuries lately. Doesn't have to be the only weapon in the receiving game. And I think Steve Smith in Baltimore is a move that, put it under the heading of it makes so much sense it should happen.
What do you think the compensation would have to be to Carolina?
I always overestimate that because, Vinny, as you know, the compensation in the league just doesn't ever seem to be commiserate with
right.
the talent you get. But, I guess I would say no more than a third, and possibly they could even give up a fourth. That sounds low, but it always seems to go lower than it should.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with Don Banks, who covers the NFL for Sports Illustrated here on 105.7 The Fan. I just want to go back to where we started, Vincent Jackson, Logan Mankins. If you had to put money on it, how much of a thorn in the side of this whole agreement getting done do you think they'll be?
Time up, and that's the great. They won't stop the overall deal from happening, but they could delay it a little bit. And obviously, they're trying to save the entire preseason, so time right now is a huge factor, part of the equation. To me, Vincent Jackson probably he would take the franchise deal. It certainly sounds like if he had to. Logan Mankins, we both know. We all know that. When he digs in his heels, he can be really obstinate. He can be stubborn. That's the one I think the league should be the most worried about. But I guess there's a price tag out there for their satisfaction. I just don't know if the league wants to go there and kind of buy them off and show other players that type of approach can work.
Now, Don, have you talked to any of the coaches since things have kind of leaked out that only you're allowed one padded practice and then, the second practice has got to be a walkthrough? Have you talked to anybody? I'm sure they're not happy about that.
I have not, Vinny, but I can guarantee you they're not. I mean, first of all, they're always resistant to any change, and they've been doing it their way for, their entire career. So this is not going to be a popular move. Coaches are, I can almost guarantee you, they're going to feel like they got kind of sold out once again, and their interest in what they think is right for the game didn't get consulted. And I think they have a pretty good piece there. The problem is they're on the wrong side of this issue because the sensitivity to the player safety has never been higher, and I think the league is going to bend over backwards to continue going that way.
And they're going to really be upset with what? OTAs would go from 14 to 9, and you can only have you can't have helmets in most of them, and then not starting the off-season program till May 1st. I mean, they're going to be in an uproar because coaches, if it was up to coaches, they would have players around 24/7 year-round.
Absolutely, and they, there's some that are more old school than others, but I think the best ones are going to be the ones to figure out and adapt to this system and figure out the best way to get an advantage even with the new rules. And after the grumbling and the complaining dies down, the smart ones will set about to figure out exactly how they can work the schedule completely best to their advantage.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with Don Banks, covers the NFL for Sports Illustrated. We've been talking a lot here locally, the importance of the Ravens re-signing Marshall Yanda. From your perspective, how big a priority is that?
Well, they love him, and I think it is a big component to keep that offensive line together. And they always believe that their players are more valuable than going out and getting a replacement. They seem to have a really good handle year in and year out, Ozzie Newsome and company, Eric DaCosta, on how to value their guys, how much they have left. But I expect that Yanda is a guy that they really believe is an important cog, and they won't look at it like, well, we could do better on the market, and we'll go and get a guy that is every bit of his player or even exceeding that. So I expect a full push to try to keep him.
Now, if Marshall Yanda for the Ravens is one, I would think 1A would have to be Mark Bulger. I mean, they've been fortunate. Joe Flacco has not missed a down in 3 years. But, you know, if they have too good a team to risk playing Tyrod Taylor as the backup, do you agree?
Yeah, I do, Vinny, and I thought that was why that was a smart move last year, is that insurance policy. And, you know, for a while this offseason, I really thought Bulger and Arizona were going to be a match. But as we've already talked, I really think Arizona's going to come after Cobb. And it sounds as if the reporting is accurate, that Bulger kind of kicked the tires on Arizona a little bit and doesn't really see the same situation, doesn't see a positive opportunity there for him. Possibly, his wife, I believe, is a doctor. I believe she's some sort of dentist, and wants to live as close to the St. Louis area as possible. And it may be just pure geography is going to keep Bulger out of Arizona. But I think the Ravens clearly would like to have him back. I suppose it all depends on whether or not he's good with just being a number two again, or if he really wants one last shot at being a starter in this league.
If they didn't get Bulger, what would be a decent option? I mean, the quarterback list is so bad, you know, Don?
Yeah, no, it is. And it's, I think it's going to happen pretty fast. I mean, I don't know if, you know, a Matt Hasselbeck would even consider Baltimore, because the clear-cut number two role is waiting for whoever comes to the Ravens. But, I mean, it's not an impressive list, and it's not a list that's going to be very deep whatsoever. I just think that makes Bulger really their first priority. And then, secondly, they got to kind of find out how that top tier, the guys do land, the Cobbs and the Hasselbecks. There's a few other names out there, but they're not as attractive as Bulger.
Hey, Don, last thing for you. We've talked about how the league will probably go lightly on some guys that have had transgressions during the lockout. Does that also apply to Pac-Man Jones?
Yeah, I would think it does, although, I mean, given his track record, the league certainly has more of a defensible position if they come down harder on him, just because of the recurrence. But, you know, he's a guy that's kind of hanging on by his fingernails in this league anyway, so it wouldn't surprise me if the Bengals made that decision and took it out of the league's hands and said, you know, thanks for your service. They certainly have had their share of headaches in the last 2 or 3 weeks, the Bengals, and I think they could certainly make some sort of statement by just you know, making him disappear.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato here with Don Banks, covers the NFL for Sports Illustrated. Don, appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot,
okay,
Don.
Guys, good to talk to you.
You got it.